gratification, the joy of public worship, the balm of comfort through God's Word. And I think we kind of left off with the lift of encouragement and kind of tried to breeze through that. So we have an entire lesson that we'll kind of devote to encouragement and exhortation. But I thought we could pick up where we left off, and that was the final point that I was trying to get across in terms of, you know, some of the benefits of the church and what we have in the church, and that's the lift of encouragement. And if you'll open up your Bibles and turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. We can look at a passage of Scripture that addresses this pretty plainly and specifically. In fact, I had an opportunity during our summer series to actually teach a lesson on this particular passage of Scripture. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse number 24. And it says, "And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much more as ye see the day approaching." And so when we talk about the things that we can get from the church and what the body does, and we consider this level of encouragement, or the lift of encouragement, as the writer of this lesson plan speaks of it, we can see here that we are to, number one, consider one another, have a reason and opportunity, take time to really give thought about one another, consider one another. And then it says to provoke, which means to really push, prod, encourage, engage, you know, shove if needed. To really provoke one another. And, you know, when oftentimes when we talk about the word provoke, or we hear that word, it's kind of used in a negative context. You know, tell my children, don't provoke her. You know, you won't like her when she's angry. You know, so, and that's typically the context that we hear provoking. But here it's talking about provoking one another to love into good works. And so, and that's a part of what we get in the church and what we need to do one for another, to love into good works. And so, you know, we talked a little bit about love. We know that God is love, and you know, we need to have love one for another, and we need to provoke one another to have love one for another, understanding, you know, the love of God, in the love that He has for the body, the love that Christ had for us, and the love that we have for Him, and the love likewise that we ought to have one for another. And then it goes on and says in verse 25, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So here's this continuation of, you know, the fact that we need to just continually exhort one another and encourage one another, and we know that the Lord is coming back again, because He's told us that He's coming back. You know, I go to prepare a place. If it wasn't so, I would not have told you that. So He's coming back, and so we don't know when, but we need to stay in a prepared state. And the only way to stay in a prepared state, or one of the recipes that God has given us to stay in that prepared state, is for us to exhort one another so much the more, even as that day is approaching. So that, you know, we can never let up. We can never take a day off. We can never take a break from being prepared, because the Scripture tells us that, you know, it's be like a thief in the night. You just don't know. And so, and we also have to understand that it has more to do with just when Jesus comes back again, when He literally comes back again. Because when we breathe our last breath, you know, that's kind of one and the same. because that's it for us. And so we don't know when we're going to draw our last breath, so we need to stay in a continual state of preparedness. And we get that from the body because we need to encourage one another and exhort one another. And I like the way that it says here, in so much the more, even as you see the day approaching. So the more we love one another, the more we'll be able to exhort one another. Now flip back a couple of chapters to Hebrews chapter 3, and we'll consider verse number 13 along the same lines. And will somebody read that nice and loud for us?
But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin.
Okay. And so when you kind of take that passage of Scripture, and again, it talks and speaks to the immediacy of what it is that we need to do and why. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, let's talk about or think about just for a moment this sin. When we think of sin, who is and what is sin, or who is sin closely tied to? Let's approach it that way. Nice and loud. Satan, he has no power here, so we can call his name because we've got the blood of Jesus. Now, so we're talking about sin, Satan, and we know that the Scripture has a description for him. And it's one where he's on the move. What does the Bible tell us? That he is like a roaring lion. But what about that? What is he doing like a roaring lion? Seeking to devour. And, you know, when you look at that word devour, it's not just take a little bite out. That's a consumption. He's seeking to devour us. And so when you have that imagery, and when you know that, you know, they used to call James Brown the hardest working man in show business. Well, the devil doesn't sleep. He doesn't tire. He doesn't, you know, he doesn't take a break. And so he is constantly on the prowl for you and I, for our souls. And so when you consider that and you put it in that context and you understand that, then you kind of reach back and you think about what we're being instructed to do here. But exhort one another daily. There's no coincidence there, and that's not something that we need to overlook as brothers and sisters in the body. We need to exhort one another daily. Because you can rest assured that Satan will be attacking us daily. And if we're not careful, you know, we can slip off into sin. And you know, and we know what the consequences of that is. The wages of sin are death. And that's something that we certainly need to stay away from. And God has given us here a recipe, a roadmap, something that is going to help us to be able to ward off, you know, that ever-present attacker. Not only just his word, but the encouragement of the saints who he's kind of put together in the body of Christ. So, building on what we discussed last week, the church has its benefits. The church has its function. We, the members, we must be functioning in the way that God has called us to. And when we consider that he's God and he set this up, it works out so much better when we just submit to him and follow his lead and his direction.
Yes.
The question is, and I think it's an excellent question, you know, we read it and we can intellectualize it and we understand that it says exhort one another daily. How is it that we might be able to do that more so than we do it already? Let's help one another. Any thoughts? Phone calls? Having established relationships is important in the process. We had phone calls, text messages. Cards, visits, email. All right, I've got one student in here who's on the phone. Yes. And I'll share for you guys that couldn't hear. What she said was to make sure that we're making the most out of the time that we do have together. Because in one sense, it's, you know, what more can we do? And it's like, okay, well, let's take a look at what we currently have in place and how we can, you know, use the settings that we have when we gather here together to really encourage one another and to exhort one another. And what she said is, when we greet one another, let's really greet one another. Let's, you know, and, you know, there's got to be a recognition that you cannot do this with everybody here during the times that we come together. But maybe that one or two people that you kind of rush by, that we kind of rush by, maybe you stop. And you really look them in the eye and you greet them and you ask them, how are you doing? And then you stop and you listen to see how they're really doing. You know, what we do, I mean, you know, and we're all guilty of it. We're hustling the bus. Hey, how you doing? Good. You know, and and it's a greeting, but we can take better advantage of something that we already have to encourage and exhort one another, you know, in this setting. And again, I think that's it's critical, because oftentimes we may need it, but we don't reach out. We don't tell anybody. Folks will say, how you doing? You say, oh, good. But you're really not. Well, you know, let's drop that natural reaction and take that opportunity to say, been a rough day. And let me share something else, too. You know, the light common faith that we have, we're always seeking to be and living our lives to be centered on the Lord. So, you know, we're going to kind of naturally be encouraging and edifying and uplifting to one another, because our approach is that typically, you know, we're striving to have a spiritual presence. We're striving to walk like the Lord, talk like the Lord, you know, think like the Lord. So in our interactions, you're interacting with someone who, you know, is coming from that place, then, you know, that in general can be an uplifting experience, just to know that somebody else is standing strong in the faith. Yes. That's another good comment. It's just, you know, God put us in here for one another. And so the relationships that we have with people of faith, you know, typically should be, you know, among the strongest relationships that we have. Yes. Absolutely. You know, we were talking about what we could do with the time that we do have, but the point is that, you know, much like what we read in the scriptures, the relationships of Christians need to extend beyond the walls of the building. And, you know, we meet, and again, if we're going to really pattern ourselves after what the Bible says, you know, we need to do that in all things. And it is telling us here to exhort one another daily. Well, that doesn't mean that we meet at the church building for services daily. So if we're not going to be meeting at the church building, you know, for corporate services daily, but yet we need to exhort one another and encourage one another daily, then we've got to be employing some other tools. And Patrick gave us a nice long list of those who so. Very good question and good thoughts. Now, the writer here in this book that we're working out of makes a point here that the church somewhere cannot provide the type of consistent fellowship, edification, and encouragement and comfort that we've been talking about over the last several classes. And the point being is that we need to be identified with a particular local congregation under the oversight of elders involved in the work of a particular church. Because these types of, you know, ties, the bonds, the relationships, if you're a person or a Christian who's just kind of floating around, well, it's not going to be as effective as it can be and as it should be when, you know, you have a group of people who have submitted themselves to the will of God and are working and operating within the structure of the local congregation, as we've been discussing. So we need to make sure that we, and then anybody that we know who might fall into these categories in terms of someone who, and you know, I know people who, you know, just church hop all the time, and, you know, they just, for whatever reason, you know, they have not established themselves within a local congregation. We need to encourage those people to do so, because that's what God has intended for us. In 1 Corinthians 12, we've considered this on a couple of occasions during the course of our study. We learn that each member is important. Tells us that God actually, you know, places us individually in the body. You know, it's no accident. You know, we're here. Tom talked about during the presentation on Sunday evening, you know, some of us are feet, some of us are ears, some of us are elbows, and we all have our distinctive places and roles within the body. Everybody is important. There's an illustration that the author here kind of talked about. And flip over with me, and we won't spend too much time over here, but in Judges, it's kind of interesting. Judges chapter 1, there was a king here, Adonibezek. That's a lot of vowels in this guy's name. But when you read through this story, and I'll just take a look at chapter 1, look at verse 5 and 7, and I'm not sure if I can remember if there's some other funny names in here, so I'll read it for you. It says, in verse number 5, and they found Adonibezek in Bezek, and they fought against him, and they slew the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adonibezek fled, and they pursued after him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his great toes. And Adonibezek said, 70 kings have their thumbs and their great toes cut off, gathered scraps of food under my table as I have done. So God hath requited me, and they brought me to Jerusalem, and there he died. And so the point here is, you know, this king, it was a custom, at least this king, and it happened to him, when they captured and overthrew, you know, another people, they captured the king and didn't necessarily kill him, but what they did was they maimed him by cutting off his toes, his big toes, and his thumbs. And so, you know, the point there being, you know, every part of your body is important. Now, after this had happened to this king, you know, they were essentially useless. They couldn't fight. They couldn't, you know, walk around and move too well. So they had lost essentially all of their power. And that was simply because, you know, they lost their thumbs and their big toes. So again, the point is that every member in the body is critical and essential to the functioning of the body. Now turn with me over to Nehemiah, and we'll see another aspect of how important it is for everybody to work, everybody to be participating in the work of the Lord, and the example that we can glean from Nehemiah. And let's take a look at Nehemiah chapter 4 and verse 17. And this, you know, the story is the rebuilding of the wall. They who built on the wall and they who bore burdens burdened themselves, everyone with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon. So, you know, the story is they were under attack, and so, you know, they had to work to build the wall, but then they also had to defend off those who would come and try to attack them. The point here is, and it kind of comes out a little bit more when you look at verse number 6 of chapter 4. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together to half of its height, for the people had a mind to work. So this was a pretty incredible thing where they were in a position, or they went back and they rebuilt the wall. And it took a great effort, but they were able to accomplish it because everybody had the mind to work. And so what that means to us, and I think the point we're trying to get across is that we too can do great, mighty, and awesome things for the Lord if we all come together with a mind to work. And to kind of illustrate, again, the fact that each of us does have individual responsibility. Let's take a look at some other passages of Scripture where we'll be able to point some of these things out. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And will somebody read verse number 1 and 2 for us, please? Okay, and again, a very familiar passage of Scripture, you know, focusing on the giving. But what we want to consider here, for the sake of our discussion, is the question, who is he talking to? Or who is something being required of? Everyone. Everyone. It says, let every one of you. So, you know, we typically look at, you know, the church has an offering, and the church does have an offering. But here, the church is being addressed, and I guess that's a key point. The church is being addressed, but it's the individuals, right? But we know that we are members of the church. We are the church. And so there's an individual responsibility. Now, we heard in the wonderful devotion this afternoon, this evening, something that we want to look at too. Turn over to Romans chapter 12. And we'll notice again here, beginning in verse 1 through 3, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, here again, we have a direct responsibility that is being placed on the individual. You know, we each have responsibility to renew our own minds so that we can not be conformed to the world but be transformed to the will of God. It tells us that we individually need to present our bodies, my body, as a living sacrifice. So yes, that is something that, you know, every member in the church is responsible for. And it comes down to an individual responsibility. God is looking for all of us to have a mind to work, to have a mind to do, to essentially, you know, get in the game. And we cannot escape that fact. The more and more we look at Scripture, the more and more that becomes apparent. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 2. And someone read verse number 19 for us. Okay. Again, let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. That's an individual focus. It's an individual command. We are all individually responsible for leaving sin alone, getting out of the way of sin, you know, resisting it so that the devil can flee. That is our responsibility. So, again, what I'm trying to get to is the idea that we all have to How did Jesus say, deny yourself, pick up your cross? How often? Does it talk about daily? And follow him. So that is not the 20% doing all the work for the 80%. That's not the 50% doing the work of the 100%. That is 100% of the people who have put on Christ, picking up their cross, finding out what it is that we need to do, and getting busy. And so, you probably see through me right now, because, you know, where we're going with this is, you know, we are encouraging everybody to be 100% vested and 100% involved in the work at the Cary congregation. That's the call. It's not something that, you know, the elders and the deacons got together with Nathan and said, well, you know, I think this would be a good thing to do. Let's try this. No, it's a mandate from God. It's what our Lord has called us to do. And so, recognizing that, the call is being put forth to God's people here at Cary. We can do unheard of things for the Lord if we all have a mind to work. And here's the thing. It's not optional. And we can't allow one another to continue to live as though it is optional. The stakes are too high, way too high. The righteous are going to scarcely make it. Judgment's going to begin the household of God. He's coming back and he's coming to see if he'll find faith in the earth. And he better be able to find it here. And so, what we are attempting to do in the form of encouragement and exhortation through the Word of God is to get everybody essentially fired up and ready for the work. Now, it's a multifaceted thing that we're dealing with. Because we have a responsibility to make sure that we essentially have things for everybody to do. We've got work that, you know, we're telling you to go and to let's get busy and to join in with us and let's go to work. We need to have a place for you to work. And so we're working really diligently and hard to, you know, map all that out and to examine our programs and to make sure that they're robust enough so that we can really do a mighty work for the Lord. Now, the other part of it is to really encourage all of us to begin to think very seriously about what our service to the Lord actually is, what it should be, and what it is that we need to do to, you know, make sure that we are all arm in arm getting to heaven. Because we do have responsibility to work out our own soul salvation, but we've been put here together so we can work it out together and we can all kind of, you know, march on in together. And that's the idea. So let me stop there. We've had the first bell. I want to hear a little bit of feedback from the standpoint of, you know, our understanding of what this particular lesson is about, the call, the encouragement that's coming from leadership in terms of, okay, you know, it's not that we haven't been, but, you know, I think it's fair to say, and everybody recognizes it, we can always do more than what it is that we, you know, have done in the past. You know, took a peek at Leslie's little PowerPoint slide. He was, as we were in our meeting, and one of the things, there was a quote, and it said, if we do what we've always done, we will get what we always got. You know, so, and what we're talking about is growth in every conceivable way. You know, spiritual growth being, you know, at the top of that list. And if we have spiritual growth, then everything else is going to just kind of fall into place. So, thoughts, comments, questions. Anybody else with a thought? Now, just a quick yes. Great. Quick commercial. We've got some big plans that we're, you know, really looking forward to rolling out that follows up what Tom presented to you on Sunday evening. And so, you know, get yourselves in the mind frame of, you know, really going to work. And with that, I want to share an opportunity that we have that we kind of need to get started with, so that we can do some of the things that, you know, I've kind of just alluded to. Anybody has the ability to write well, have some human resources, expertise from the standpoint of writing job descriptions and things of that nature, have some interviewing skills and techniques, we need you. And so if you fall into that category, if you want to kind of jump on board, particularly with the involvement ministry that we've just started up, come see me, because that's one of the areas that we need to kind of get started with right away. And so I'll give you some more information if you do have those skill sets. And so just get excited, study up and read up in the Word, understand that God has called all of us to actually have a mind to work and to work. And so be prepared for us doing some really magnificent and great things together here at Carry for the Lord. Thanks so much for your attention. I do have